Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon. This is The Talking Place, as the gentleman just said. And also, you're listening to A Progressive Life. Let's go over to our phone lines as we have Dr. Feynman on the line. Dr. Feynman, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
All right, excellent.
I've been watching the news about the school shooting in Arlington, Texas.
Very I hadn't heard about that yet. Oh.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
I hope it's not too much of a tragedy, but it is a tragedy. I heard a teacher and a student were shot, and they locked down. It's really upsetting.
And it never stops, does it?
No, and there's no gun regulations, seriously.
Oh.
It's too easy to get a gun and no real controls, and I don't see that changing, despite what happened in Parkland, right near me in Florida in 2018, and what happened in Connecticut in 2012.
It's quite the opposite. They're actually trying to make gun ownership easier and less restrictions on gun ownership. I think in Texas,
they're crazy.
In Texas,
they're crazy
you can
there.
Strap a gun on and walk down the middle of the street, even if you don't have a permit, or even if it's, if nobody knows, you can just walk. It is the Old West, and I suppose there's some really tough macho guys that like having the Old West. I think it's non-civilized.
Absolutely, but we're too peace-oriented, I guess.
Maybe so, and I'm going to talk about that probably on my show tomorrow about why do people kind of put down those of us who are liberal as far as, you're all wimps, that type of thing, or you're tree huggers or stuff like that.
Yeah, but liberals have brought all of the things that are good in society, along with Social Security, Medicare, Medicaid, labor laws, all kinds of things, a whole long list, and these people are ignorant. They don't know it.
Yeah, I have people calling me a socialist.
Yeah, and a socialist is not something dangerous. It is not the Soviet Union or Cuba. It's actually what Western Europe has and the Scandinavian nations have, and they have much more than we do as far as helping people that are not wealthy.
Yeah, and the one of the guys who told me that I was a socialist was a farmer. An older farmer. And
what about all the agricultural aid over the years since the New Deal?
I asked him if he was taking farm aid from the government. Well, yes, of course. That's
socialism,
his
of course.
Own
Why is he doing it?
Because he's a socialist.
How did he answer you?
He said yes. He did take those, but those were owed to him. So
owed to him.
Yeah,
I see. That's the problem. Too much self-centeredness and selfishness. Nobody else matters except me, myself, and I.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you were listening to our show earlier, but we were talking about a person here in town who's running for office.
I heard a little bit about it, yeah.
And, Scott and I, neither one of us think that domestic violence is... There is no side of it that's good. No side.
Of course.
And, for some reason or other, people just don't understand. If you're going to do something like that, maybe it should be a political thing. Maybe we shouldn't vote for people like the Donald Trumps of the world. For that matter, even the Bill Clintons of the world. But he got reelected after that. But
nobody ever accused Bill Clinton of domestic violence. He cheated on his wife, which was horrid.
And I don't think he hurt Lewinsky. I think...
Actually, he asked her for oral sex.
Yeah.
She did it, but I don't think it was a question of violence.
I think... But we don't know. She may have been coerced into it, and if she was, that's not right.
I define coerced. But also with Paula Jones, supposedly he exposed himself, which is horrible, of course, but it's not violence, so it depends how you define violence, I guess.
Yeah.
Did he slap anybody? Did he punch anybody? Or any
shoot
of these
anybody?
People? That's the issue.
Yeah. I'm too old to want to show myself to anybody, even my wife anymore.
That's not the nice thing to say.
I wasn't intending it to be nice. All right. Well, anyway.
I guess I should have to follow up. Does she want to see
you?
Don't answer it if you don't want to.
There's a sign on the door that says no.
That's so funny.
And that means on just about every subject. Oh, me. All right. Well, we had an interesting... interesting discussion at in Washington D.C. yesterday with the whistleblower talking about Facebook. What did you watch it? Were you able to watch any of it?
I wasn't able to watch too much directly, but I heard the reports about it.
I watched the whole thing. I thought it was very interesting.
Yeah, I was unable. I was involved with other things. I couldn't, can't always watch it. Actually, as you may have noticed, my oldest son who lives in Bethesda, Maryland, told me, "Dad, you're on Facebook too much, and it's probably causing my blood pressure problems. I have higher blood pressure. I have to take new medications for blood pressure."
I saw you're going to get off.
So I'm off except for announcing the radio show.
Yeah.
And also when I do the Sunday show once in a while, the other show, which has not been on for a few weeks, and also my blog entries, my Progressive Professor blogs, and whenever I publish an article at History News Network, but that's it. So basically, I'm not reacting, and when people ask me something, I write privately, and on Messenger and say I'm not responding on Facebook except Messenger if somebody wants to talk to me. So I'm spending a lot less time watching less news as far as, because I sent him Saturday on for too many hours, and he said 1 hour in the morning, 1 hour in the evening, and read online, and he's right.
Yeah.
So hopefully that'll have some effect, but so that's why I was busy anyway, but I decided not to watch all day.
Well, you were probably one of the people that sent me the most shares of anybody. I'm not criticizing you. I found it quite interesting.
I sent you, which are still I find interesting.
Yeah, and I found it interesting.
But I'm not gonna. I've said I'm not gonna do it, and I'm gonna try to keep to that.
Yeah. Well, and I think one of the things that I try to do, and this does help me, I think, if I don't know who the person is that's sending me something, or if it's a commercial, which you can tell just by looking at the address that as it comes in, if it's coming from such and such a corporation, I skip by it. I don't even want to see it. So and that helps. But Facebook. It sounded to me like Facebook had the opportunity to be able to do that, but they want to make all that money that they're making.
Yes, Mark Zuckerberg is really, I think, a criminal in many ways, the way he's done things, and he's got to be held accountable, and Facebook does too, and I don't know how they're going to do it, but he's out of control, and he's got $120 billion, I think it is now.
Yeah,
he's the third or fourth wealthiest.
Yeah.
He's the age of my youngest son. Actually, my youngest son is 6 weeks older than him. it's crazy. It's venal. It really is.
He's an arrogant SOB, too.
Yes, he is. And, when he first came on the scene, it seemed interesting. There was that movie about him, I think in 2010. But he's out of control, and I don't know what's going to happen, but I don't know. I think all these tech people are really dangerous, not just him.
Yeah. Well, he doesn't seem like a very nice person. When he first came on the scene, one of the big things that made it so big is that he was kind of screwing his partner and, to kind of screwing him out of what they deserved as well. And I never have liked the guy.
Well, I thought whenever I used to see him music, he seemed shy. I would call him a shy person.
Well,
I think he actually may be shy. I don't think he likes being in public that much. But obviously, when he's not in public, he's very vicious in the way he conducts himself.
He doesn't mind taking the public's money.
No.
And
this is like the age. Like I just wrote yesterday on my blog that this is like a new gilded age in many ways.
It is, yes.
It's like the time of Rockefeller, Carnegie, and J.P. Morgan.
Right.
And we had the Progressive Era, the New Deal, the New Frontier, and Great Society following.
Yep.
But then, of course, we've flipped since the 1980s with the Reagan conservatism and everything since, including Donald Trump. But we really need regulation, and we need something to be done, because the concentration of wealth is just too much, and there's too much monopoly capitalism.
Well, and the people that scream freedom, 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 they want freedom for themselves, but it doesn't seem to me that they're paying much attention to freedom for others. So
no, they don't, and particularly that's true when it comes to the issue of gender and race.
Yeah, yeah.
It's terrible because with all the progress in quotes we've had, there's still racial and gender discrimination widespread.
Well, they all want, I'm going to go to the guns. Well, they all want the guns that they want, and they want to be able to have any type of gun that they want to have and be able to carry it anywhere they want to with no restrictions and no checks on them. That if I can say this one thing. We've got to have some sort of checks and balances on gun ownership. I was a soldier. I carried a gun. I fired a gun. I've gone hunting. But I don't think we need to have semi-automatics like we have. We don't need to have, you know, the amount of gunpowder that's put in some of these shells so that they can blow the far side of a body out, you know. To say in Texas that you can walk down the street with a gun strapped to your side that you have told nobody about and it's legal, I think that's the height of ignorance.
And especially with the issue of mental health and more people seemingly mentally ill and needing help, and they don't need to have a temper to have a gun on them. Better to punch somebody or something like that, you know?
Well, I think here in Ohio, I think if you are carry concealed weapon license, I believe you can carry the gun into a bar. That is the dumbest thing.
The dangerous thing, a bar?
Yeah.
People get drunk, that's all you need.
Yeah, because you're not thinking when even if you've only had one beer, it's affecting you and you don't even know it. So it is making you madder than quicker mad than you'd ever be if you hadn't had that 24 ounces of beer.
Yeah, I'm concerned about the Republican Party nationally, but particularly I'm paying attention to Ohio, that Rob Portman is a moderate, decent man. I don't agree with him all the time, but he's decent. Now it's either J.D. Vance, who has switched gears and suddenly loves Trump, and Josh Mandel, both are willing to do anything to have Trump's backing, and they're both monstrous, absolutely monstrous. I hope Tim Ryan can win that Senate seat, the Democrat.
Yeah, I do too. And Tim may be a little bit boring, which...
boring isn't necessary.
But I'd rather have boring than evil.
He's been a little on the floor of the House. He's made statements lately. He is more vociferous lately. I think it depends on the issue, really. You know?
Yeah, he has. And I liked him when I've met him the couple times I have. He isn't a firebrand. He isn't the type of guy that's going to steal.
But he's got a competent record. That's
he does. He does. Yeah. Indeed.
About firebrands. Jimmy Carter finally hit 97 on October 1. So we should all be celebrating that. And that's amazing. And I'm hoping he makes it to 100.
I can't tell you. I hope he makes it to 110. I can't tell you.
Well, but that's unlikely to go that long. But, of course, there is somebody, a couple of people have reached 110 lately. You know, I don't know if they're famous, but people that you hear about.
Yeah, we're getting more and more people living to 100 and past. So, you know, more power to them. I hope I'm one of them. But I've thought about this a lot, and you tell me what you think. I don't want to live past the point where...
You can take care of yourself.
Yeah, I can take care of myself.
Physically and mentally know who's who and what's what.
I wouldn't mind being a talking head, but I don't want to be a blob.
Yes, as I say, if you can know who's who and what's what, not lose your mind.
Yeah.
And you can take care of your needs and feed yourself and go to the bathroom by yourself and everything else. That's the important stuff. Yeah, but unfortunately, there are a lot of people, at least physically, who are not able to do that. And they languish for years, and it's expensive, and it's depressing. And then, of course, there are people who have dementia, and after all, they don't even know, like Ronald Reagan didn't even know who Nancy was in his last years.
Speaking of that, did you happen to watch the 60 Minutes a bit about... the old crooner who is singing with
Tony Bennett.
Yeah, Tony Bennett.
Yeah.
Did you watch that? I
saw part of it. I saw it online. I didn't see it at the time, no.
Well, I was so impressed with how well, once the music started, he was back to his old self. And I believe that. I have seen movies or, you know, video of old guys. The one I'm thinking of was an old African-American guy. I think he was in his late 90s. He had forms of dementia, several forms, but they would put headphones on him and he'd start listening to music and he seemed like he was fine.
Well, music is a very important part of health, really.
What
I hope for is, you know, sometimes I forget things, I'm sure you do, or I can't think of the right word, right? I'm sure.
Say that again, I missed
it. I said sometimes, you know, I'll forget, you know, a specific word, or I don't know what a specific word means, or, you know, I'll just forget something. I'm sure that happens to you, too.
Yes. Now,
so when I go into the classroom or give a lecture to an adult group, I'm good at what I'm talking about.
Yes.
I say, please, God, don't ever take that away from me, even if I sometimes forget, you know, other things, words, or can't figure out what I'm trying to say, you know, in other kinds of ways. But at least if I can do what I call my job, it's only part-time now, to be able to speak about what I love, that's what I want.
Yes, and I can absolutely understand that. I was talking to a young man, we were having a beer, and just the other day, and I said to him,
You have a gun on him?
No, he didn't. We were both, he was a former musician.
Did you hear what I said? Did he have a gun on him?
Yeah,
you know,
I did hear you.
Did you not answer me?
Yeah, I did. I said, no, he didn't.
Okay.
But we're both musicians. Now, he was still sort of one. But I asked him, I said, don't you just love that feeling when the crowd is into what you're doing? And he said, that's the most emotional hot spot there is to be... And I bet you get that when you're talking to a class, don't you?
Well, I wouldn't say the class goes and actually applauds, except the first thing I told you, what I mentioned, was my 50th year beginning to applaud it. But they're all very respectful and all that. But when it comes to senior citizens, when I've spoken on a topic, they all, you know, not as many of them, but they also applaud and say thanks for coming. So, it is very inspiring.
Yeah.
And I can see why a politician in office who speaks before a crowd and gets aroused from them, including even Donald Trump, of course, it's great.
Yeah, of course. And I think that kind of drove him. It seemed to me like that was probably the most important thing that he felt he did is do his rallies.
But even that treatment of Joe Biden, he likes everybody.
Sure.
Likes, you know, people applauding, you know.
Yeah, everybody likes that. But there are some, you know, musicians and other forms who do that for a living. There is a point where it's beyond just a living.
That's what I would say. I do it because I love it.
Yeah.
Now, speaking about politics and history before a group, whether it's students or senior citizens.
Yeah, yeah.
And I can't imagine not doing it, you know. I just can't.
Yeah, and that if I get to the point where I can't sit here and talk on radio about something or other.
A bit, yeah.
Yeah, I'm ready to go.
Yes, but unfortunately, even if you feel ready to go, it doesn't mean you go.
Yeah,
that's the problem.
Right. What do you think? Well, I know this wasn't on my little script, but what do you think of allowing people to help people pass?
I agree with the concept. You know, of course, what was the name of that doctor?
Kevorkian.
And he got convicted. I can certainly understand that if it's done like by medication, you know. Mm-hmm. But then you have people who sue or hang themselves or have that I don't like. But
no.
If it's by pills, I think mercy, it's not called mercy killing, it's called, what's the term called? It's been a long time since I thought of it.
Euthanasia.
What is it called?
Human euthanasia, I don't know.
Yeah, euthanasia, but it's another term for it, I think.
Yeah.
But if a person's really unable
mercy
to
killing.
Do anything and is unhappy and it's made clear that he knows what, if he knows what he's doing, of course if he's demented, he wouldn't necessarily know what he's agreeing to.
Yeah.
But I would agree, and I guess you would too?
Yeah, I think I do agree with it, like you, in theory. I would really have been horrified if somebody had asked me, because my dad had a stroke, and if dad had asked me, help me get out of this world, I would have really had a struggle. Now, my father being a minister and a very devout minister, he really believed in what he said. I don't know that I wouldn't have helped him, but...
He didn't ask, though.
He didn't ask, no.
Now, I'm curious, how long after he had a stroke did he live?
About a year,
And was he able to talk?
Oh, yeah.
But he never said anything?
No, he didn't say anything about it.
But he wasn't happy, I'm sure.
No, he wasn't, because he had been on the fast track to become the bishop of the Indiana district, and, you know, he was somebody in the Methodist Church.
Oh, wow. Well, how old was he?
He was 68 when he passed.
Oh, he was young.
Very young, yeah.
Oh, well, that's really much more tragic than if you're 80 or 90.
Yeah. But,
oh, my God.
Now, he was...
Oh, you've outlived him.
Yes, I did. And he went the way everybody wants to go in his sleep, so...
Yes, that's what I want. Of course, it's a shock to the family when one day they find you not alive.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's better than being in a hospital and nursing home. Oh, God, just terrible.
That just grinds on and grinds on and grinds on.
And also when you have to have a walker and all that, I'm not thrilled with that. I talk to people at these nursing homes that, you know, some of them have it. And, I can't even imagine myself not living in my own house. You know, I want to stay here where I am.
Well, I agree with you, but, you know, the having to stay in a assisted living home with a walker is better, I think, than being put to sleep. But it's going to be tough if it happens to me. I know it is.
Yeah. I like my space I have here.
Yeah.
I built myself up to have the house I have.
Yeah.
I didn't have as much space when I was younger, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I think I mentioned my mortgage ends in 2 months. So
oh, that's great. Are we going to have a mortgage burning ceremony?
I don't want to start a fire.
Is that big?
Just kidding. I don't know, but it is going to end in December. Oh, my gosh, after so many years. And other people, some of them have that ending younger, but, you know, I'm reaching the age of 77 in 2.5 months, and
yeah.
It's that birthday gift to me to say, no more mortgage, just homeowners insurance and property taxes. That's the only thing.
Do you look, now see, I get to see the obituaries every time I come in here for the show. I mean, it comes on right
you
before
also,
the show.
Adam Lepp always reads them, right?
Yes, yeah. And do you find yourself listening to them and say, well, I outlasted that one? I don't mean it to be as rude as that sounds, but I mean, I feel good, and I love to see people. John Smith is 97, passed, and he was 97 years old. I love to see the old timers last as long as they can. Because
and that's why I'm so thrilled about President Carter, you know?
Yeah.
And he looks, you know, can never know, but I think he will probably last a while longer, though he has cancer in remission, so one day it's not going to work.
Yeah.
Same with Bob Dole, Senator Bob Dole ran against Clinton, is 98.
What? Yes.
And then Kissinger's 98. I haven't heard that he's even has cancer, but he's 98 already.
One of the things that does bother me about getting older and having an affirmed malady, mine is a heart problem, and I'm not sure I really want to go with a heart attack. But, you know.
No, neither do I, but my blood pressure's been up lately. I'm taking much more medication. I don't know why.
Get off that Facebook.
Well, that's what he thinks is part of it.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't know, but I'm. You know, I don't feel any problem, but when I have the blood pressure taken, it's not good. And it was fine until in January, but in April it started to be a problem.
I think blood pressure fluctuates a lot.
Yeah, but it's really high now. It's startling, you know, the last time, you know. So it's every time I take new medication, it gets worse.
I take my blood pressure at least two or three times a week, just to know. And
I take it daily. I have to take it daily. I always did have one blood pressure medication since I had my surgery in 2004.
Yeah.
But then suddenly it was doubled, and then another thing was put in, and then doubled and doubled again.
Wow.
Now I have another one replacing the first one. It's like, and it's the cardiologist, so I have to go on November 1 and see how things are going. But it worries me, you know.
Yeah, it would. Now I have been lucky. They took one of my blood pressure medicines away.
Actually, one of mine has been taken away but replaced by another.
So. Oh, okay. Well, mine was just cut in half is basically what it was.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's good.
I like that. And I walk every day, or not every day, some days.
I do also, yeah.
Some days I do the
walk. Or to go on the bike, stationary bike in the house.
You know, I'm really not looking forward to winter up here because I walk 2.25 miles.
Oh, that's a lot, yeah.
Probably 3-4 days a week, and the rest of the time I'm either mowing the grass, which takes me an hour, or I do treadmill if it's pouring rain. But in the winter,
it's going to be harder when it gets really cold.
Yeah,
that's not a problem, you know. It'll be cooler in the winter, but it's not. But in the summer, it's very hot, so it's hard to walk too much because of the heat, you know. But I do.
Yeah, I bet it's good. Yes, I imagine it gets really hot down there, doesn't it?
And particularly in the hot summer, so I try to go early or late if I can, because middle of the day, sometimes I've gone, but it's really oppressive, you know.
I go in the middle of the day, and not because it's cold, it's comfortable. I go just because I'm lazy.
Well, also, the winter, if you're going to go, probably going in the I guess the middle of the day is best because the morning may be colder than the evening, you know?
Well, I'm awake.
You're awake?
At 11 o'clock in the morning, I'm still trying to wake up. I haven't had my second cup of coffee.
I have one a day.
Well, I did cut that. When I was in the Army, I drank 8 cups of coffee before noon.
Oh, God.
If you
wow.
Know, wow. Yes.
Are you a coffee-holic, I guess?
I used to be, but...
That's such a word. I don't know if this is, I made that name up.
Well, I'd come home at lunchtime to get my lunch I was in the Army at the time, and I would have to lay down on the floor because I was so drained out from drinking coffee, and then I'd go back to work and have another cup of coffee.
I don't understand why drained out.
For some reason or other, when
makes
you drink
you tired?
Cups of coffee, it just kind of sucks the energy right out of you.
It gives you energy.
No, it doesn't. Not after that many.
Oh, I've never had that many. Oh, wow.
Yeah, don't do it.
Oh, I never have been that way. But I don't like tea particularly, so I always have coffee in the morning. Yeah,
yeah, me too. All right, let's...
OJ, orange juice,
yes.
Definitely.
Let's talk about Stephanie Gresham. You know, the young lady that...
Yeah, she was the press
book.
Secretary for 8 months, never held a press conference. She's not exactly a winning personality.
Yeah, but I found it interesting that she said she contacted Melania on the day of the insurrection to try to get her to put out a news release that would say something, you know, to the people that were rioting to pull back and... be kind and that sort of thing. And basically, Melania,
yeah.
Melania. I like Melania. Anyway, Melania told her, go suck apples, you know.
Well, honestly, I'm not surprised. She is, I think, the absolutely worst first lady ever. It's just because she was married to him that she was there. She disgraced herself in so many ways when she wore those jackets with words on it and
yes.
All that. She showed she had no empathy or compassion, just like her husband. So in a way, they were a good match.
Well, the thing that bothered me about that jacket that she wore, I can't remember what it said on it, but it was so offensive, I thought to myself, well, where were the people that are the PR or the you know, the people that are around those people.
Well, with Trump and his wife, they might say something, but they will not listen. But maybe they don't even bother because they think they're the lords of the matter. They can say and do anything they want. And yet, ordinary, everyday citizens who don't have money and struggle every day love the guy. And there's really mental illness there. It makes no sense at all. And a lot of it's based on putting women in their place and people of racial minorities in their place. That's what the real thing is that fuels people. That because he stands for that, and she basically does, that they'll back him no matter what else they do that harms these people.
Now,
harms the white people.
Yes.
You know, I really think it's a mental issue, you know.
His popularity is diminishing some. And,
yes,
but so is Biden.
He's going to run, and now he even made a comment that if Ron DeSantis, the Florida governor, runs, he'll beat him like everybody else.
Yeah.
That's an interesting statement. And right now, Ron DeSantis' wife has breast cancer, sadly, and I hope she does well. But honestly, I don't see, maybe I'm wrong, that if she has problems, I don't think that's going to say to Ron, first of all, he's going to run for governor again. I'm sure he's going to run no matter what.
Sure he will.
And if he does, and if he wins, I think he'll start a campaign for president because as much as I think he probably loves his family, he's such an egomaniac, I think he's going to still, unless she tells him not to, but she probably wouldn't. So I think it'll be really sickening if she's really sick and he's running.
Yeah. Somebody asked me if I had ever seen the pictures of Melania with the when she
other
was
women?
Of Melania when she was in the girly magazines, and
that's what I mean. But she also took poses with other women.
Yeah. Well,
yeah. So yeah, she looks good, but I don't think that's the way to judge a woman. It's all sexism. That's all it is. Who cares how beautiful you are, how sexy you are? It's the character and the intelligence that matters. And in those areas, she lacks a lot.
I'm trying to figure out whether it's that I don't like her or I really do think she's not that good looking. I find her offensive to look at. And I'm sure that it has something to do with the politics. But.
Well, you know, I wouldn't call her the most most attractive, but she's not unattractive, but looks are just surface. It's not enough. You know, you had first ladies that were not attractive as far as their looks, but they were important people, and they contributed. And, you know, that to me matters more. I don't judge people just by appearance. Never have.
That's all I had going for me till I turned 23 and got married.
Okay, well, but also, you were lucky, and your wife was attractive, so that's yes. That's the benefit. But I'm saying that just because you marry someone that looks good doesn't mean it's going to be a good marriage, doesn't mean that she's going to be a good mother. So, yeah, you have to go beyond just that, but I understand young men think that way.
She's put up with me, so it's okay. Did you see the posting I did about, I know you did, because I saw that you passed it on, of today's show with me and my folk trio?
Yes.
That really is me playing on bass.
Yeah.
I haven't been that thin we had two guys come in today to talk to Scott about a pizza that they make, and I criticized them. I said, you are the guys that turned me into a 240-pound blob. Because I was 185 pounds until I found a place that had a pizza buffet, and it was downhill from there.
Oh, wow. I want to ask you, those two people that are in the photograph, the left and the right side,
yeah.
Do you know them still?
I'm sorry?
Do you still know those two people?
Oh, absolutely. Matter of fact...
Are they heavier now?
Bob's a little heavier. Bob is the one on the right. Joe is the one on the left. Joe is about as skinny as he always was. Bob was in the touring group of Phantom of the Opera, so he is very accomplished. And Joe was a sound engineer for Hoyt Axton and lots of really famous singers, and has sung with many famous singers. Has a beautiful voice.
Oh.
We're thinking maybe we have a mutual friend that's getting married early next year, and we're thinking if we all go to it, we may get back together and sing together.
Oh, wow. But they're also in their 70s, I guess, right? Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Is the person getting married in his 70s?
Yeah, he's 1 year younger than I am. So
he's getting remarried.
Yeah. Well,
I
yes.
Okay. That would be nice. You should definitely get photographs of that. But you're saying that you're much heavier than either of them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know. I haven't seen them lately, but...
so you're not even sure now. You know.
No, and I don't look as heavy as I am, I don't think. But
have you ever tried diets? Or is
yes.
It very difficult? It's not easy, I'm just saying.
Now, I did the Atkins diet, and it worked quite well. I did it so I could wear a suit that I had to my son's wedding, my youngest son's wedding, and that's the last time I was under 200 pounds.
Oh, wow.
And that was a long
time. And how tall are you?
I'm 5'11".
Okay, you're taller than I am, yeah.
Well,
I can lose some weight. I'm in the 180s, but it's, you know, I'm only 5'7", so...
Yeah.
But I have lost, actually, by walking and biking and in the house, I have lost about 10 to 12 pounds.
Now, see, walking doesn't help me lose weight, and I walk a lot of miles.
Oh, wow.
I probably just stuff too much stuff in my face, but I only eat three meals a day.
Yeah.
I do have a snack at dinner at
times. What kind of snack?
Yeah, probably not what I should have. Usually Cheetos and a
oh, gosh. Oh, my gosh.
Okay.
Are they as personality, a good personality as these two friends as you are? You think I guess I should ask that really because they might hear it. But I'm saying I'm assuming that they might be very, very outgoing like you are because you're really outgoing, you know?
Oh, yeah. I'm probably the most outgoing of the three.
Okay.
But the other two have much better voices than I do, so...
Yeah.
I had one of those voices that blended everything, you know? And I have really good pitch, so I was able to help those two with that, and I was the only one that knew how to play a string bass, and I was the only one who owned a string bass.
The thing is, so they're both in the music world,
yeah.
But you're not. How come?
I wasn't any good. I gotta face facts. I found out how bad I was, and I sold that stupid bass.
Oh, that's so funny. You got a great sense of humor, too.
Well, it's kind of warped sometimes.
All right, I guess you want to get to the question about the debt ceiling vote.
Yes, I need to get to that. We only
got
10 minutes. What are we going to do?
Well, you're going to have to do it by, I guess, by ending the filibuster for that issue.
How can we do that? We can't get two of the people on board to even do that.
Well, it's still in process.
Yeah.
And even now, Manchin seems to be going up on the amount that he would allow in the social infrastructure, it seems like.
But not Kristen. Yeah, she's
impossible.
I don't know what we're going to do with
cinema.
Her.
She's going to have a lot of trouble getting reelected, I think, well, it's only in 2024, but she really comes across as a horrific person. And, I mean, I didn't know much about her before, but, oh, my God, is she going to take responsibility for destroying the Democratic agenda completely?
What pushes her buttons? It doesn't seem like she cares what her constituents think, because her popularity polls are dropping like a stone.
Well, it's a Republican state generally, and she's a Democrat, so she's trying not to be, quote, too liberal, and I understand that.
Yeah.
But you also have to face reality, and this is an opportunity to get some real changes for, you know, for preschool and for early college and Medicare reforms and environmental reforms, you know, climate change. And if it doesn't happen, it's going to hurt the Democrats next year, and it really harms Joe Biden, and it's going to be on her head. And I don't know. I just don't understand. She doesn't even answer questions. She refuses to comment, you know?
Yeah. I just wonder why she even decided to run. She doesn't seem like she's even interested.
Well, she was a congressperson before.
Yeah.
And the thing is, she ran against another former congressperson who was appointed, Martha, you know, when McCain died, Martha
right.
McSally.
Yeah.
So I guess it's one of those things you say, do you really want to have the Democrat, we don't know too well, Sinema, or you want to have the Republican for a six-year term, McSally?
Yeah.
And if McSally was there, there wouldn't be a 50-50 tie. See, that's the whole issue.
Yeah.
That is bad, but the same as the two Georgia seats hadn't gone Democratic in January, it would be a Republican Senate, and none of this would be happening anyway.
Yeah. Now, my wife...
It's one of those double-edged swords, you know?
What my wife is very concerned that if we push Sinema too far,
she might become a Republican.
She might become a Republican.
Well, even with Manchin, it could happen. That's another issue.
I suppose, but
you know, I don't know.
He seems to have some scruples. He seems to have some honor.
Yes, I think he's moving in not to 3.5, maybe
2.2.
And again, they say they could always make a few years of the plan, maybe make it 5 years, not 10, so they could do everything but lower budget. You know, there are ways to get compromised, and then hopefully in the 5 years they could then add on to it, but it depends who's in power then. But I think maybe it's too ambitious, I guess it is, to have a 10-year plan.
It seems to me that Sinema doesn't even have any interest in coming to an agreement.
It seems that way, but I don't know. I'm wondering about her mental stability.
I do too.
Yeah, I'm starting to wonder. And the problem is there's only 535 House and Senate members, 435 and 100, and they have such power, even individually, when you have a six-seat edge in the House and 50-50 tie in the Senate. And this is only the fourth time we've had a 50-50 tie ever. So it's a real nightmare, and of course the next election will decide. I don't think it's going to be 50-50. I mean, it could be again, probably whether the Republicans gain the majority or the Democrats gain the majority. And it should be the Democrats, because two-thirds of the seats are Republican, and some of them are new people coming in. And I think people like Mandel or J.D. Vance would be horrific, but Ohio may vote for them instead of Ryan.
But
we need to have more Democrats, but there are more Republican seats up, but it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to work out that way.
Well, and Ohio, in the latest polls, shows that the Republicans really outnumber the Democrats. And it's not just the gerrymandering. There are more Republicans in this state than there are Democrats.
But I would think there are more, I would hope there are enough moderate Republicans,
Republican?
So they're Republican, but there are moderates who, you know, might not want to vote for Mandel or J.D. Vance.
Well, I think it's gotten to the point where, on both sides of the ticket, I'm not going to vote for any Republican. And I know I have friends who are Republicans that aren't going to vote for anybody as a Democrat, even if they like them better.
Oh, that's crazy.
Well, I know it's crazy, too. And I really would. I do look at what people have to say, but I haven't seen anybody on the Republican side of the ballot that
said... Well, if I was in Alaska, which I'm not, and I would probably vote for Lisa Murkowski. She's probably going to win her seat again against any Democrat or an independent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think she's decent. I mean, I can't vote for her, but I would.
Oh, there are a lot of decent Republicans. Believe me, they just aren't
aware. Not too many in the actual Congress. I really...
Yeah.
Like Mitt Romney. Would I vote for him if I was in Utah? I don't know. I don't think so. But, I mean, he's so, like, less objectionable, even though I didn't like him in 2012, because I liked him more earlier. I don't know. It's so hard.
Yeah.
Hard to cross party lines. I can see that. But when they see what the Republicans are calling for, which is to basically only favor the upper class and the wealthy, why would these Republicans who are not that way vote that way? I don't get it.
Hey, if you want a lot of power right now, and you're in Senate, and you're a Republican, switch seats.
Well, that happened with Jeff is in Vermont. In 2001, he switched from the Republicans to independent, I think, and that made it a Democratic Senate for a while. Yeah.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, you would be honored, you would be praised, they would throw the golden calf to you if you did that. Yeah, and that's what I'm afraid of the other way, you know. What would happen if, Sinema decided, okay, I'm going to be Republican because I'm getting too much grief from the Democrats.
Yeah, the irony is she did, she'd probably win a seat back. It generally is Republican.
And she may be looking at that.
Because of the growth of the Latino population. Same with Texas. Texas, most of the new population is not white Anglo.
Yeah.
But yet there's gerrymandering crazily where it's going to be very hard for these people to have much impact. But between Asians and African Americans, and particularly Latinos, and also mixed race, I mean, the state should, in the future, be Democratic.
Well, I think right now that the state of Texas is...
Presumed minority.
Minority, yeah.
And California already has been, yes.
Yeah.
And this is reality.
Yep.
There's nothing can be done about it. And you should not be looking at people based on their skin color. But we still have that issue in 2021.
The thing I say about that is every time we add power to a minority, and that starts all the way back when we started understanding why Irish people wanted to be Americans.
Yes, Italian.
It has made America stronger and better each time.
Absolutely. We're a nation of immigrants. All of us are either immigrants or the descendants of immigrants. Only ones maybe you could argue, because it goes way back, as Native Americans, who, of course, are not well-treated as all along, as we know.
Still aren't.
Yeah.
Well-treated, yeah. I don't understand that at all. My daughter-in-law is, what, 1/8 Cherokee, I think it is, or 1/4 Cherokee.
Which part?
I'm not sure. We'd have to cut her apart and find out which ones bleed a different color.
If you did Ancestry.com, a lot of people might be partly Native American or African American or Latino or Asian, you know, but they don't necessarily look it, but they might be, you know. But then I wonder how they would accept it if they discovered, oh my God, I'm this much this much that.
There are people that would hate that, I think. Hey, we're down to our final minute, so you got anything you got to tell us before we get out of here?
Okay, well, I would just say, I mentioned about the Gilded Age we're going back into,
right?
And I made it clear we need regulation of social media, and I've been writing about social infrastructure. The Supreme Court majority is becoming very outspoken, with Clarence Thomas speaking up, and also Amy Coney Barrett speaking up, and also Samuel Alito, and I think they're showing signs of the pressure they feel, because a lot of people are very angry at the Supreme Court for what they did on the abortion
issue. Yeah, did you see
issue.
The marches were huge. Yeah.
Yes, and honestly, I just hope they don't, you know, repeal, Roe v. Wade.
Me too.
They could put restrictions, but to stop all abortions is ridiculous. You know, it really is. It's very disturbing, and a woman should still control her body.
I agree, absolutely. Well, we got to get out of here until
next
week.
Thanks so much. I'll see you next week. Have a good week.
All right, you too, Dr. Feynman. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
Hey, thanks for listening. This is Glenn Coble, and we're going to get the heck out of here. You've been listening to A Progressive Life. Join me tomorrow morning at 10:15, and we'll talk to a world-renowned distance runner. Bye bye.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For people like the first female Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright.
If Donald Trump does get in...